Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
James, thank you so much for coming on to Headstrong.
Thank
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. I mean, it's been a hell of a year for you, I would say. I mean, a bit of a roller coaster of a year, so it's great to have you on our mental health platform and kind of have a chat about your experiences with mental health and how that's gone. Yeah. But at the start of the year, you had a pretty crazy experience where you might not have been able to sing again.
Yeah, I had a polyp on my vocal cords, which is like a little growth. Which prevented me from singing. I had to have surgery, which meant I couldn't talk for quite a long time. So yeah, it's sort of 6 months of misery, really.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, that puts you immediately in a pretty bad place. I mean, your career as a musician, that is what you've relied on for, you know, your entire life, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So what were those immediate emotions, I suppose, of, I guess, shock, but then not knowing whether you could kind of perform again?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time in my life where, like, my career, but then also, like, it's even stuff like my friendships and relationships really struggle, because, like, talking is something that I think a lot of us take for granted, and I was given this new perspective on life where being in a social environment and then not being able to contribute was like something I'd never been able to relate to before. But yeah, for the first time ever, it was my career and my health coinciding. I'd had like wrist problems before, but I could still kind of contribute to the music just without playing guitar. But this time I just felt really useless. And it was a difficult period of reflection. But yeah, I think now looking back, it sort of taught me the importance, even more so, of listening. I think a lot of people, me included, would be the sort of person that in a conversation, you just feel like you have to say something because the thought of awkward silence is like hideous to me. But now I kind of would like to believe that I think about what I'm saying before just speaking a little bit, mainly for the fact I had to, because I was texting everything I was saying during the surgery process.
I guess also, you know, when people are actually having conversations, say you're at the pub or you're with your mates or whatever, you actually, as you say, people aren't just listening. They're actually looking at you, going, nodding along, listening,
and actually
they know what they're about to say next. Yeah. So being able to have that time to listen and reflect over those 3 weeks, what were those thoughts?
I think it sort of drummed into me even more so the importance of making sure that everyone in a conversation feels heard, because I think naturally there's like slightly bigger characters, and you know, just how people are. Some people are louder than others, and I think that can often end up in the scenario where certain people just don't really speak much in a conversation and feel left out and then become isolated and whatever. So I think, I mean, maybe I've just gone back on all the things I've learned, but I think now I'm more open to like making sure that everyone's heard in a conversation. I was like notorious for being like a big talker and like probably overpowering like a conversation. And now I try my best to take a slight step back and listen to different viewpoints more than I ever did before, I think, I hope.
Yeah, for sure. In those 3 weeks particularly, I mean, there are always going to be better days than others.
Yep.
So during that time, What kind of kept you, not level-headed as such, but what actually kept you optimistic and positive? What did you do?
I think...
Other than rest.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, before the surgery, I was scared because I didn't have a sense of knowing when things could get back to normal. And I think, weirdly, when I knew I had to have a surgery, I did have, like, a clear indication of, like, when I could go back to some sense of normality. I found a lot of solace in... like, normally when I'd been writing songs, I would play with the guitar acoustically and sing and, like, write with my voice and guitar, but... When I was in like the no singing period, I made a lot of music without any vocals, which for me I'd literally never done. So I was producing these songs without really knowing where the melodies of or lyrics were going to go. And that meant so like I've got a song "Dancing on the Head of a Needle," which I wrote without any vocals at all or melodies. And then after all my voice thing was fine again, I started writing the words to that song, which was for me it like flipped the songwriting process on its head. So I think I tried my best to still stay productive with my music. I think I would have struggled if I just like put everything on pause. Played a lot of guitar. I was planning to do like my music earlier than I released because you know I'd wanted to do it for probably 18 months, and then the voice stuff put everything on pause. But it did force me to really evaluate exactly which song I wanted to put out first, and I guess the image and conversation I wanted to have with my music, even stuff down to like the visuals of it all. So it was a forced period of contemplation, which I think I'm actually quite grateful for having now.
And notably, how important was the support bubble, and notably your partner?
Yeah, I mean, my wife was great. Is great. She's still great. The other boys in the Vamps were really supportive as well. And it's funny, like they're so optimistic. So when I knew that there was something wrong with my voice before having the scan, like I was speaking to Brad, the singer, on the phone. He was like, "Oh no, it won't be anything. And I find out it's this growth, and I called him. I was like, "Yeah, it's actually bad." And he was like, "No." And I was like, "No, it is." So they're so good at being like, it'll be fine.
Sure.
And that was really good. I think if everyone had been like really down in the dumps about it for ages, I would have struggled, but they just rallied around me.
So important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Literally just having people. Also just, I know, not making a joke, but it's so important to have people to talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there were you probably thumbing away.
Yeah.
So important. And in fact, your wife is actually quite a lot of inspiration in your new EP, which is coming out on the 10th of October, 10th of November.
10th of November, yeah.
Am I saying it right? Manabi?
Manabi.
Manabi.
Yeah.
Manabi. Okay, can you tell me the inspiration behind the name? Because it's not English.
No, yeah. So it's weird. I'd known, I would say for like 10 years, that at some point I would do something around the theme of like learning. So like I've had the word learning in my Twitter bio, now known as X. I see people say it and it's like X, formerly known as Twitter, as if that's like a
That's really PR really helping
term.
Me clarify that.
PR term. So it's been in my bio for 10 years since the start of the Vamps, knowing it's not, whether it would be like a book or something. And then when these songs kind of came to me, I knew I wanted to call the EP Learning. And then, I don't know, we spent like, my wife is has been learning Japanese for a couple of years now, and we've done a few trips to Japan, and we love the culture. And I actually found in Japan that I learned more about myself, just how to, I think when I first started going to Japan when I was like 17, 18, I was like naive, ignorant, a bit arrogant, and I just didn't really get the culture. I was like, oh, come on, like, you know, the whole like respect thing, I think, frustrated me. But now I'm older, I see like a real sense of like, I don't know, I love the energy that you have there, where there's a genuine sense of like respect, and it really helped me like become a better person spending time in Japan. So then I thought, well, I'd love to kind of capture some of that learning in my EP, and that's why Manabi kind of came about. The fact that my wife is learning Japanese, I love. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be sent Manabi before it's come out. I've listened to the thing. First of all, congrats. I love
Cheers,
it.
Mate.
It's awesome. Really, really good stuff.
Thank you.
But what I really enjoyed about it was the sincerity of every note and also the meaningfulness of every word. Because it's so, I would say, I mean, I'm no music professional, but I would say it's raw in the sense that it's straight to the depth of that emotion.
Yeah.
Was that always the kind of the goal and the aim of what you wanted to distribute?
I think so. I mean, I'm very, very lucky that I don't need to make this music to like pay my mortgage. I'm very lucky that the Vamps is active, successful, and I love it. Love the Vamps to death. So I was given this like rare opportunity to just create something that I wanted to create without needing to think about, well, I need it to get this many streams or win these sort of awards or whatever. So I kind of threw out a lot of typical inspirations. You know, like when a lot of people make music, they are, whether consciously or subconsciously, inspired by other artists, or they'll listen to the direction of the music industry, you know, whether it's going slightly 80s or 60s or early 2000s or more rocky or whatever. I kind of didn't do any of that. And I thought, well, what do I actually want to say and how do I want to convey it? And I decided that I wanted to try and produce a lot of my own music this time around. I'd never produced for the Vamps before. And, you know, in some, like, I find it funny, like, my production's quite basic. Mm. And my limitations have kind of led to how the EP sounds. But I've spoken to people and they've been like, God, I love the sound that you've been able to capture. How did you achieve that? And I'm like, mate, like, I achieve it by playing the instruments and keeping it pretty raw and rough around the edges. Mm. There's no like big, there's not much like reverb, for example, on my vocal. It's quite dry. There's no real like compression on anything. It's just pretty raw. And I think that kind of conveys the overall message I'm trying to achieve through the lyrics.
Yeah.
Lyrically, I was really conscious to make sure that every line had a meaning. I think there's a lot of opportunity in music to get away with kind of saying nothing if you don't want to. You know, if you want to write, like, I mean, I like pop music and dance music. It's cool, serves a purpose. But you know, there's a lot of songs that you hear that don't really mean much, but you have like an energy and a feeling, which again has its place in the world. I wanted my music, every word, to, you know, there's only so many words you have in each song. I wanted to make sure that every line made sense. And the way that we achieve that is, I would like, after I've like written a song, I would like read it out as if I'm just reading.
Mm.
And if a line didn't really make sense, I was like, well, it doesn't work. You need to be able to, I would love to be for someone to be able to read my song and for it to flow.
And still and also convey and that still,
yeah,
and emote, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what we're gonna do, if you're happy, without making it awkward just to sit here, but obviously music's such an important part of your life,
yeah,
and it's also a great therapeutic activity. So I'm gonna play one of the songs.
Go on then.
For a little bit. Because I love the first track, right?
So that one's Blood and Bones, yeah.
Yeah, this is Blood and Bones. And this has come out as a single,
yeah,
already.
Oh. Where's that come from?
It's got some surround sound.
Time after time.
And this is about your wife.
Yeah. It'd be weird if it wasn't. No. Can you imagine?
I'll fight your every corner until I'm black and blue.
Dude, it's such a great track.
Thank you, mate.
And what I really like is the imagery, as you say, of every kind of word, every metaphor, which is so powerful.
Thanks, mate.
When you were putting this together, you were saying that this is, it was a difficult, a different situation in terms of your songwriting because you wrote the music first, am I right?
So no, this is even more so to the point. That was actually about my first song, Dancing on the Head of a Needle. But this song, I wrote this song, a version of this song, about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So the guitar was exactly the same, the melodies were the same, but all of the lyrics were different.
Mm.
And, you know, we sort of touched on that period of contemplation. One, I guess you could say, like, pandemic sort of time coming out of that. But two, like, with my voice and everything, it forced me to really, like, critique the original version of that song. And it was still called Blood and Bones, but, like, everything else was pretty much different. And I realized I'd kind of written a version of that song and then put it to the side and forgotten about it. And then I found myself just singing the chorus over and over, like in the shower or whatever, and I was like, there must be something in that song, like maybe I've just painted the wrong picture of it. And I went line by line and rewrote that song with a good friend of mine called Amy Wadd. She's like a really big songwriter who I think meeting her was like a really important moment for me on this EP. And we just went line by line and rewrote the whole song. And you know, sometimes it was like meticulous towards the end, because I think, you know, we had like the second verse, if I could paint, there would be no color, no shade that could discover. We had that and we were like, what do we say at the end? And like, I think we had someone else at the end. And then we were like, it's not right. And then eventually we've got like the rainbow of you, and it kind of all worked. And now listening back, like those like painstaking hours of trying to figure out exactly how to say it, I think really, you know, made sense. And now I'm really proud of the song. There's not really a part of that song that I'm like, I don't like the lyrics. And actually, that's the same across the whole.
It must be so difficult as a musician as well, when it does come out and you're like, ah, actually now, upon reflection, I could do this, could do that.
Yeah.
Are you just incredibly proud of what you've put together? Because I know often when musicians bring out their next thing and their next thing, they're always proud of their most recent stuff. But is that fair to say?
It is, this? Yeah, massively. I mean, so I must have written 40 songs for this EP. Some of them started in Nashville and the last one, Dancing on the Head of a Needle, was done in my bedroom at home, and then I released that one first. So like, there's been a big spectrum, and over like 2 years of writing, things change and you forget things, but you're right. Like, I will write a song like probably tomorrow or something, and I'll prefer it to everything. But then that's why time is really important. I think I'm really conscious with my music to not like force or rush certain things, because I feel like the energy and like the magic that you get when you create a song is like amazing. But sometimes I feel personally that it can actually like cloud your judgment on whether it is actually an amazing song or if it's
who
just a bit.
Who do you go to then? Who do you say you wrote to yourself in your bedroom?
Yeah.
Because you can't have gone to your wife first up for this one.
Or
did you?
Well, I mean,
she heard you in the shower. James singing about me again.
No, I have like a small group of people I send songs to, which is funny, and most of them aren't musicians. I mean, I send all my music to Amy, who is obviously a musician, songwriter, great. But I have a group of people that, and there's a term for it in the industry, and I can't remember what it is, but it sounds offensive, but it's not. It's like the normal ear. So someone that just like is not in the music industry. And because I think there's like a beautiful like innocence or naivety to the average person's ear, because at the end of the day, that's what you want to try and like attract, right? So I'm like quite big into like watches, and I've got a couple of friends that work in the watch industry that are, you know, like slightly older men, which don't typically fit the demographic of, I guess, the music I've made with the Vamps, for example. So I'll send them, and then like a couple of my mates from back home that work in like IT or like property, and I'll be like, what do you think of this song? Instead of sending it to, you know, I do send it to my wife and stuff, but I think sending my music, my demos to a fan of my music is obviously great, and I love that, and like giving them stuff that's like really valuable, I think, to me to hear their feedback. But actually, you want to try and win over people that wouldn't typically listen to my music. So
that, definitely, you want that productive feedback, right? As well,
yeah,
definitely,
yeah. And like honest feedback.
From someone who might not necessarily be a Vamps fan or a James fan,
and will tell me the truth, which is good.
But also on the 10th of November, when the EP is released, you're also doing a gig.
I am, yeah, first
in support
show
of Mind, which is awesome. Yep. So obviously you're going to be playing all your new tunes. How's that prep going?
I've not really started yet, which is scary. I'm trying to write a set list, but it's new for me. I've not done a gig on my own since I was probably 15. And even back then it was like supporting someone where I'd play maybe like four covers. So doing a night of all my music is exciting, quite scary. But I think doing it with Mind was like perfect, because we knew we wanted to put on a show. But we didn't know in like what capacity. And then all of a sudden Mind reached out and said, look, we're doing a series of gigs. Would James be interested? And I was like, it's perfect. So I think it's going to hopefully feel like a really welcoming, safe space. I've got a band together around me. Got a couple of really cool people supporting me that I'm really good mates with. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a good one.
Obviously, this is like, as you say, the first time you're doing your own music and on your own.
Yeah.
Are you feeling anxious about that?
Yeah.
Excited?
Terrified.
Are you?
I keep, like, for the first time in years, I had this the other night where I had a dream that I was doing the gig, but it wasn't at the venue, it was another thing. And I dreamt that, like, I didn't know any of the words and I couldn't play guitar. And I've not had that dream. It's like that dream where you're back at school and you've got an exam, right? And I get that quite a lot. I've not had that dream with music since I was about 16.
Wow.
And I was like, this is so crazy. So yeah, I am nervous. And I think it's a big deal for me mentally, because I'm extremely privileged with the Vamps to have done some like massive shows and continue to tour, and that's great. But I think there's a real weight to this performance, because the songs I'm singing are very personal to me, and and my loved ones in a way that, like, you know, with the Vamps, it's four of us, and I love it, but four of us contribute. With my show, the songs really are from, like, my bedroom.
Deep in the heart as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
As we say, like, you know, it's your emotion that you've gone through and what you experience still, I guess, as well. Mm. I mean, what an awesome charity that you're supporting. We love Mind.
Yeah.
And naturally, obviously, rooted in mental health with your journey as well through this year and no doubt from a young age as well. Mm-hmm. But when did you first become aware of your own mental health?
It's difficult. I think relationship with, like, food and exercise is a weird one, because that probably hit me earliest, but I didn't really know it until later in life. So I would imagine this kind of obsession with extreme, like, dieting, I would say, or like exercise, probably started at age like 15. But it's only been, I would say, from the age of 19, 20 that I've really understood, or maybe even older than that, 22, that I had, like, a negative relationship with that side of stuff. I think depression and anxiety, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard for me, looking back, to pinpoint what was the depression that I've experienced in later life and what was just being a 14, 15-year-old guy that didn't really fit into a social situation very well at school, being, like, the musician kid, you know, at a sports college was, like, you know, it wasn't, like, the...
It's difficult to find your identity.
Exactly. And, like, most people don't know their identity then. So I think probably when it was getting to a point where I would catastrophize, I think that's where I was like, this is quite an abnormal way of, like, processing information. So I don't know, early 20s maybe, but definitely had been affected from the age of, like, 13, 14.
Thinking about your time at school, because you were bullied at school, right? I mean, also, as in also being excluded like that, people say, oh, that's not bullying. I still, to an extent, I genuinely believe that definitely is. Mm. Do you think, from an infrastructural perspective, that I know now the schools are doing so much more, but that would have helped you so much more?
I think, so what was interesting with my experience is it was mainly online stuff. So actually at school, I had, like, a couple of guys that would, like, maybe pick on me, but it wasn't awful, but the online stuff was pretty bad. It was kind of like when I first started putting songs on, it was Bebo and MySpace back then, I would have, like, guys from another school, like, reach out and just say it's, like, rubbish kind of thing. And that was, like, quite over and over. And to be fair, that still affects me, like, now. And I've got a friend who was friends with them at school, which I didn't really know at the time, but he's having, like, a birthday party in a couple of weeks. And some of those guys are going that used to bully me. And even still, I'm like, ooh, so I'm not going. And it's like, that's 20 years, well, not 20 years, 15 years ago. Yeah. I think that more conversation, talking about bullying, similar with mental health, back then in particular, was just not it was not, like, a cool thing to do. So people presumed, one, that it was uncool, and two, that it was just a part of, like, school. And I think now the conversation around bullying and mental health is really important. I'd like to think that me then wouldn't have experienced the negativity around his music if I was releasing it now. I think we've come quite a long way with, like, people writing songs and being openly emotional about girls and stuff.
Do you think back then, upon reflection, actually playing music, writing music, was kind of your form of escape and safe haven and helped you express yourself? And, you know, people do things for their mental health, whether they actually know it or not, you know, going on a run, doing exercise. But you playing guitar and playing music must have been a massive part of actually making you feel good.
I think, yeah, it was like feeling a sense of belonging. And, like, I had like a, like, really, really supportive, loving family and great. And I had a group of friends, but, you know, all of my friends went off to grammar school and I didn't. So I think when I started playing guitar and, like, singing, and then it was the very early days of, like, watching bands on TV and, you know, that... I think, yeah, there was a sense of belonging in a way that I didn't, like, where I grew up, there wasn't a massive music scene. There was, like, a few people doing it, but not really what I wanted to do. So, yeah, it was a bit of an escape. I think when the Vamps started happening as well, it was a bit like, oh, okay, a real sense. Like, when I met the other three boys in the Vamps, I was like, oh, there's actually other people like me from similar backgrounds that I can connect with, because I didn't really have anyone that I naturally connected with before I met them, to be fair.
And before you hit the public eye with the Vamps, and as you started going through that journey, you mentioned it already, talking about that experience of body image and what that felt like, which was notably not talked about amongst men necessarily at all. And that was a huge, huge thing that you were self-conscious of and kind of started to experience, because you have that ideal image, as I've heard you talk about, the Abercrombie image of that perfect body, and you kind of push for that. But did that have a detrimental effect on how you were feeling mentally?
Yeah, I think, so I think it comes down to wanting an element of control in my life. So, you know, it started, the obsession with like exercise and food started from, I think, wanting to try and be like more popular, maybe. It wasn't like a position of vanity per se. I didn't look at myself being like, oh, like, you look great. It was just like wanting to try and, I don't know, fit in a little bit more. But then when the Vamps kicked off, it then turned into a thing of like, well, I don't really have a control over my life anymore, as in from like a logistical perspective. I was always traveling, always doing stuff, and had amazing experiences with the boys. But all of a sudden, I couldn't eat the amount of protein I wanted to. I couldn't go to a gym every day. I couldn't eat plain chicken and broccoli. So it really started like manifesting into something quite negative. And it turned me into not the nicest of people to be around, and I would kind of dictate which restaurants we could go to, or if we could go to the hotel before going to the show, so I could use the gym and like all that stuff, really. And it took me a long time to realize that actually what I thought initially was a healthy mindset, you know, like it was always like, oh, dieting is good for you, or like muscle's good, or oh, you go to the gym 7 times a week, you must be like a pinnacle of health. The reality is I wasn't. You know, I was really, really thin. I had really bad skin. I was not a nice person to be around, quite tetchy. So it took me a long time to realize actually that I wasn't healthy. I was quite unhealthy.
And even more so now, with the ever-growing presence of social media, do you feel a responsibility and consciousness of what you post, let's say with the view of body image?
I think I
have you got a better relationship with that now?
I've got much better. I mean, it still affects me like daily, but I think now what I'm a lot more at ease with is that notion of transparency, where like I will not worry if I'm presented in a certain way where I maybe don't look like the thinnest, or you know, I would never like edit my photos. Like I just don't do that. But I mean, transparency and like talking about issues, whether it's body image, like depression, whatever, I've always been like a strong proponent of speaking about it, because I think that, you know, like the EP is called Learning, right? And the majority of the time I'm learning is when I'm speaking to other people, and like in turn I learn more about myself. So I think transparency is so key, especially when like the age of people on social media seems to be getting younger every year. I just think it's nice to see some people that, you know, I would have loved when I was like 13 for like my idols to speak about body dysmorphia or mental health. I think that would have really helped me.
Do you have a role model now?
I don't know. I mean, musically, like a few, but I try not to. Like obviously, like parents is like the go-to, and that's true. But I'm inspired by an average person doing a good thing, I think. So I'll see someone do something, and I'll be like, that's really inspiring. I try to just live as normal and down to earth as I can.
What's your experience with therapy then? Because when you started in the Vamps, you were so young. I mean, you're still, you know, and then you get projected into this incredible span of 10 years plus and still ongoing. You're doing huge stadium tours. You're traveling the world. I mean, did you go to therapy? Do you still go to therapy? What's your relationship with that?
I never did therapy in the crazy years of the Vamps. I've done like a few sessions, last year. And I liked it. I think it's important to find the right therapist. I think like therapy was always something growing up that I think a lot of people around me had kind of passed off as like an LA thing that doesn't, you know, everyone in LA's got a therapist. But actually, therapy's helped a lot of people close to me. And yeah, I'm definitely open to doing it again. I've been lucky actually that I seem to do, like, I only had a few sessions and it really helped. But for me, like, I'm very lucky to have a good communicative relationship with my wife, to the extent that, like, even just speaking to her for me feels equally as valuable as therapy, unless it's obviously about our relationship where maybe you need an external person, but luckily that's not happened yet. I'm open to it for sure.
And if it's not too personal a question, and please say let's move on if not, but when was, well, first of all, being a man, crying is something that is often looked down upon. When was the last time that you cried? And if so, what can you remember what it was
I
about?
Find myself crying a lot about the thought of my dog dying, which, so I'd like, if she's looking particularly cute, I'm like, oh no. But I mean, I cried, I had like a moment last year, when I was writing a lot of this EP actually, where I found myself drinking a lot and smoking a lot of weed, and it became like a pretty bad routine. And I had like a moment where it was like a semi, like mini breakdown thing, and I just cried a lot and sort of fainted and shit, and it was pretty like kind of crazy. But I needed that moment because I knocked the weed on the head and stopped that. But I think crying's something that I've got a lot more used to doing, which is funny. Like for both ends of the spectrum, from being upset but also being really happy. Like my wedding, I cried more than anyone else, and I think there's a real sense of feeling liberated crying around people. I think for a long time, it's the go-to that you probably shouldn't do it.
And it's such a good release, actually, because ultimately you're holding something in that needs to come out as an expression of something.
Yeah,
it's not actually for anyone but yourself.
It feels really good. It's tiring, though, man.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
It gets you. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, with that as well, having all that time in the spotlight, travelling, vamps yourself, how have you managed a relationship with alcohol and drugs? Like, because it's present in this industry. It's so difficult because people are there offering. You come off the end of a show as well, you're like, that was insane. I'm in front of X amount of people. But how have you managed that throughout your years?
I mean, I've been really lucky that I met my wife just before the start of the vamps, really. So she's been there the whole time. I've never been into hard drugs, thankfully. Just luckily, never wanted to do that. I mean, alcohol's something that, like, a lot of our... I feel like younger people aren't drinking anywhere as much now, but I feel like my generation, our generation, is still kind of, a lot of stuff centers around drinking, doesn't it? Like, you meet up for a drink or whatever. And that's fine in moderation, great, like, cool. But I think now, actually, the thing that's helped me now more than ever is my voice complications kind of mean I can't drink alcohol around, like, performances. And I think I was, you know, there's been definite moments in my career where I've been very drunk on stage, to the point where, like, I've been probably like playing really bad. And not because I've been like trying to hide from something or I'm nervous, just because I've been having like a good time and I've just not been thinking about it. And I think being conscious about that is important. I think when you're sort of in your early mid 20s, you feel this sense of like invincibility. And I got to a point where I was like, well, you know, I need to look after myself. I think, yeah, every so often in my life, there's been moments where I've noticed I've been drinking too much or whatever. And it's just about, I think for me, I'm very lucky. I've got people around me that, you know, my wife would say, like, why are you drinking? It's Tuesday night or whatever. That's been really good for me. But it's just about constantly trying to be aware of your behavior and tendencies.
So what do you do then to kind of preserve your mental health, look after your mental health? Naturally, music being one of them, playing the guitar. Is there anything else that you kind of do to help keep on track and stay in a good place?
I mean, like, genuinely, the songwriting, I went years without songwriting when I sort of lost my way a bit with music, but I've been writing a lot the past couple of years. That's been really cathartic. I get, like, it's so cliche, but talking, like, to my wife and to my friends, and that's been really, really good. Like, I think a lot of people kind of just go day to day with speaking but not really saying anything, just sort of like pleasantries and going on. But occasionally it's important to sit down and have a good chat, like whether it's with the Vamps boys, which, you know, we're really good at communication. I think trying also to, like, alter your relationship with social media is a big one. Like, that's always, I've really tried now to rein it in a bit. But it's quite a dangerous thing. You get into an algorithm and then you realize you've been sat on TikTok for like an hour. You're like, what am I doing? So, yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is try my best occasionally to take a step back and almost try and view myself from a third person's perspective, whether it's like if I'm going through like a low mood, try and stand outside of that and be aware that it's not going to last forever, or why am I feeling like this? Let's unpick the anxiety. Or whether if I'm drinking too much, then I will, it's being strong enough to be like, you're drinking too much.
Seems like you're way more self-aware.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you know, again, when you're in your early 20s, it's quite easy to not be self-aware because again, you feel like completely invincible, bulletproof kind of thing. So maybe with me, it's just getting slightly older. It's like a new perspective on life and the desire now to want to live like a long life of happiness, whilst when you're younger, you're a bit sort of, don't really care kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, kind of lucky if I make tomorrow, yeah. See what happens.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got the EP coming out on the 10th of November.
Yep.
Got the gig in support of Mind. Without wanting to wish away this amazing time that you're going to experience,
yep.
What does this journey look like for you now? Are you wanting to continue to release your own music?
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously, the Vamps aren't, you're not split up,
no.
Which is great. But what does that look like as a musician? But then also, you know, for yourself, you and your wife, are you going to stay here in England?
Yeah, I mean, so the Vamps is going to be busy from next year. We're still busy now, but just carrying on. The Vamps is something that I can see just happening forever. I'm going to be releasing new music after the CP, either the end of this year or start of next year, and just ride it a little bit. Like, I'm very lucky that my relationship with my wife is that she can, you know, we've decided to like travel a little bit more. We've always been quite reluctant to like do too much travel. I'm going to do that more, but just kind of see where things go. I think because control has been such a massive part of my life, I think it's nice to try and embrace a sense of like fluidity with my plans in a way that I've never done before. And I think my music's enabling me to be able to do even stuff like putting on this gig, like terrified, but it's a challenge.
So. You've got to step out of your comfort zone.
Exactly,
right?
That's what I'm trying to do.
And what you've got to, give the fans what they want.
Yeah.
And also you're raising money for an awesome charity.
Absolutely,
which is
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
So my final question that I ask every guest is, what does the word headstrong mean to you?
That's very difficult. I think headstrong for me is being open to show like weakness and vulnerability, because I think if you say like, oh, I'm great, like I'm emotionally robust all the time, it's not really the truth. Like, everyone goes through things. So, and when I say weak, I don't mean like that in a bad way. I think it's good occasionally to be like, I feel like I'm weak at the moment. I need some help. I need some support. So yeah, being open to listen, learn and grow, but also not only listen to other people, listen to yourself, and yeah, be prepared to say like, I need some help at the moment, I think.
Really nice. Hey, thanks so much for sharing your stories. I really appreciate it. Best of luck on the 10th.
Thanks, mate.
And no doubt we'll continue seeing you go from strength to strength.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
Nice one.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.